청상 첩첩이 미타 아 구려 창해 망망이 옹인하니라 나 This is the story of a 벽성지엄 who lived from 1463 to 1534. He was tall, strong, and muscular since he's young. And also he liked to pick fight and he would always win. And in addition, he was good at handling arms, such as throwing iron hammer and arrows and sword. In 1491, there was a government notice was circulating, informing people that there was a rebellion on northern borders and invasion too by Juchad. Juchad was a proto-Manchurians of Eastern Manchuria. And there is a tribal people were living all around the borders between Korea and China, and they needed food. And then, so Korean side, they needed what they didn't have, and they would provide that. So there was always this kind of economy based on barter. And then when didn't get smoothly running, then they would use force, and then this rebellion over themselves first, and then sometimes intrusion and invasion. So this time it got pretty serious. So the Korean regular army based in the northern frontiers, they couldn't prevent them. So that's why this government notice is circulating looking for volunteer armies. People can volunteer. if they are strong, brave, and muscular, and in addition, knowing something about martial arts. So Jiang, he volunteered, and then he got test by the regular army, and then he got picked up. So eventually he became one of the five commanders selected to repair or put down the rebellion, and in addition to regular armies. So actually, it ended up, he rendered a distinguished service for the country by repelling the invading Juchad three times, and eventually suppressing them. So naturally, he expected that his service would be recognized and expecting some kind of a reward. But none of them was coming, and then the commander-in-chief was a high government official dispatched for this purpose from the monarchy. So he would not recognize that, and then he made it that the rebellion was put down by his effort. So he got higher position. And then what happened to Jiang was he was even, after the invasion was over, put down nicely, he was just dismissed. So naturally he was very upset. And but it's, everything is dictatorial, so you cannot appeal to anything. So he came home, and he was pretty bitter about this. So he went around listlessly, not really knowing what to do with the rest of his life. So eventually he decided to seek like wise people who would give me some good counsel. And then one place he was visiting, the teacher said, "You've got spiritual problems, you see, because I understand your anger and frustration and even betrayal. And I mean, obviously, you rendered such a distinguished service for the country, even saved the country. But that's pretty secular. The only thing that cures your anxiety and anger is devoting yourself to the spiritual cause." So that seemed to make a little sense to him. So that this time he went around looking for spiritual teachers. In those days, the oppression of Buddhism by Confucian regime was really getting worse. The big temples were all empty because the monks were driven out and they were forced to return to lay life. And so first he was told, if you go to Jikjisa, you will find a great guy, the man of the way. So he went to Jikjisa, but then the temple was completely empty. And then eventually he learned that this Buddhist teacher, the other fellow was talking about, was a living with his bosan. That's the word bosan is a bodhisattva. But it's usually in Korean Buddhist context is referred to women devotees. So, and it's called, well, if you go to Murani, this is a very local name, Murani. If you go there, that small village, you would find him over there with his bosom. So, inquiry after inquiry, eventually he found the Murali place and then met Chengxin. That's what the teacher was, Chengxin. And Chengxin's days are not known. So we don't have much information about Chengxin, or even for his bosa. So he informed Chengxin why he came. You know. Well, Chengxin said, as you can see, this is a very small place. I just live with the bosa, just in one room. And this is no place for you. No problem, sir. I mean, I'm strong. I can just dig and make my own shed, and you need not worry about it. And also, I'm very strong, muscular, and I can really help you and double to cut down firewood and then take them to the kitchen, to the market. And if so, well, you try, but there's not much I can offer to you, so don't be disappointed. No, I will not be disappointed. So here, this way they started out. So every day, two of them would climb the mountain and cut down the firewood, the dead trees, firewood, and then bring them down and split them in regular pieces and then take them to the market. So every day they would do that. And then it's the real reason why Jiang got there was to learn something about you know, awakening or emancipation, enlightenment. Just. So every day he would ask him, can you just share a little bit of your wisdom with me? And he said, no, not today. So and then every other day or so, and then said, no, you're not ready. Yeah. Well, I have a headache. Well, today I'm too busy. So it's very frustrating. And so he spent 3 years serving him and, you know, doing the same thing every day, except on rainy day or something like that. And then he never taught me anything. Not even a small piece of wisdom. So he's getting really upset and depressed. So finally, this is really hopeless. He made up his mind to leave. So when the bosa saw him, he didn't go to cut the firewood and says, what are you doing? Well, I'm leaving. Why? Because as you know, I have been here for 3 years, I haven't got anything. Well, that's true. And then the bosa said, what the heck over this emancipation or awakening? If I have it, I would give it to you free right now. Then, but at least you see, you wait until he gets all home and then, you know, bid him farewell or something. No, that would be too emotional. So I've got to go. So he left. And then when the Chengxin came down and Bosa complained, Jiang left! Why? Because you didn't give him anything. Not a single piece of wisdom, you see. That's not true. I've given him everything, every day. When I had a breakfast, you know, I shared a breakfast with him. And when we went to climb up the mountain together, you know, we shared the way together. Every day I have been teaching him. Well, I did the same thing to you, the Bosa said. I made breakfast. And I wish the dishes for you. Then, according to you, then I must get something from you, you see. Well, I would not say, I have not given you anything. And every day, when you fix the breakfast and wash the dishes for us, you know, I shared my wisdom with you. Then, there, and the Buddha got enlightened. He said, this is not crying, this is not laughing. Ding-a-ding, 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 ding-a-ding. And then turning around, you know, and dancing. And then Zhengxin went up on a big rock and then saw him down. Qiyun is leaving, and he called him loud. Qiyun! And then she turned and look here, this is your way. And then he ran back up. And then when he saw the Bosa was dancing or crying or laughing, and he got enlightened too. So he stayed for 3 more years. And then here, we really don't know who the Zhengxin was. But were it not for him, or for the matter, were it not for Qiyun, there was no unbroken lineage in Korean Sun Buddhism. So that was that's the story. So, anyway, now from now on, I mean, the third full day is drawing to a close today. And then we have tomorrow, the last full day for your summer young man, Jiangjin. So I'd like you to practice with joy and happiness, not struggling like this. There's another thing we think. The monastics, they've got lots of time to struggle and get depressed and hopeless and then come out and all that. But you don't have such a time. So I like you to practice joy and happiness. That's another thing, you know. That's another learning, right? Mm-hmm. So get back.